welcome to Mind Body Stuff. I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
We are very excited today
because
we have
my husband, Mike Johnston, here. We're going to interview him about us.
And him.
Oh, and him,
remember,
of course.
Everyone wants to know who the man behind Bernice is. It's true.
He's laughing.
Everyone has been waiting for this podcast.
Introduce yourself, Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike.
You talk louder. That was, geez.
Hi, I'm Ryan. What's the matter with your voice?
I'm an old lady.
He's very excited to be here, as you can tell.
Yes, he's chomping at the bit. Calm down, big fella.
Mike, it's very good to see you at normal hours, 11 a.m.
It is.
I only see Mike at 3 a.m. and midnight.
Right. I'm the airport driver.
He's the shuttle man.
He's the shuttle driver. He helps us get from plane to plane.
Well, when you fly in and out of Missoula, you have to leave at like 5 a.m. and you get in at midnight.
Midnight,
basically.
Yeah.
So poor Mike. It's always his responsibility to take us.
We're very appreciative.
We're very appreciative. Rob owes you big time.
I love it.
I'm sure you do.
I do.
I'm sure you just look so forward to this.
It's my honor to help support this amazing operation.
Look at that. We have good husbands.
We have very good husbands, thank goodness. We couldn't do this job.
It's your gift to me.
Oh, wow. Is that sarcasm?
Well,
no.
Aww.
That's really sweet.
Yeah,
that is sweet. So, I don't know if B told you this, but we had a lot of people write in their questions that they had for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I want to just dive right into asking you some listener questions.
Oh, yes.
So, a lot of women say that their husbands feel like they've lost their wives to Ula, or that the husbands become second fiddle to this thing that is Ula. And so they want to know, Mike, what is your perspective on losing Bernice to Ula, or if you even feel that that's a relevant true statement in your life?
It's a big topic, too, by the way.
It is a big topic?
Yes.
I think I maybe have felt like that at times, but to me, the benefits of Bernice and Ula have far outweighed any sacrifices that I feel like I've made. I think part of it for you is work, and I'm gone for work all the time, and you support me.
That's right.
And you clearly love what you do. Of all your jobs, this is your favorite job.
How can you tell?
Because you're sweaty.
Whoa, I don't.
All good things make you sweaty.
Makes you moist. That was from a previous podcast.
And fertile.
That's for you, Julie. Moist and fertile. Thank
Gross.
You. Sorry. Mike's like, what are they talking
but
about?
But I think guys don't understand what happens here.
Mm. Yes.
It's a mystery, so we're threatened by it. We fear it on some deep level.
That is such a good point.
Oh,
I think you're so right about that.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery, and so you fear it because you don't understand it.
I would encourage all the men to just come to a class. That's what I've done for years.
He's such a liar.
You may have heard rumors that I've never attended a class, but what I do is just come in and get my Ula on. No, I'm kidding. One time at noon, I did have to come here and drop something off in the middle of the class. And there was so much raw power and screaming and loud music and female energy going on that I felt like I needed to have a spear and crouch and hide behind bushes as I ran back to the office. It was powerful. So on one hand, I was like, I do not belong here. I could be killed. But on the other hand, seeing it made me appreciate the power and the energy that happens in a class. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, would you ever take a class?
I'm in training right now. I am committing right now. This time next year, I will take an Ula class.
Oh,
right now, I'm going to train.
Okay.
I was thinking like
psychologically,
maybe like my best birthday gift would be if you came and took a class.
Oh,
this is some pressure there.
You have 4 months, Mike. Well, you don't have a year to train now. You got to do it.
It'll be a late birthday present.
A late birthday present. I could be dead by then. He's like, yeah, I'd get one to your ULA class when you were 75.
So why do you think ULA is so popular for women as opposed to men? So what about that walking into that noon class made you feel like I could be killed here? What do you think it is about women, and why did you not, as a male, feel like it had a male vibe?
Well, I just think that there's a lot of collective energy that happens in a class. That's mm-hmm. what was happening right there. It was powerful. I wasn't part of it, but clearly everybody who was in there was part of it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like a big teamwork thing going mm-hmm. on right then. There was everybody was pouring. Everybody's on the same page, it seemed mm-hmm. like. I didn't want to stand and watch the moves yeah. or anything. I was no eye contact. I yeah. was crouched low, yeah. running towards the back office. But I was in there long enough to appreciate that. I mean, that's just not something you see on yeah. a regular basis. You know, I guess people get fired up in regular exercise classes, but there was like more raw energy and emotion. It seemed like primal. Mm. Primal power,
yeah.
Happening mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
Was it Bernice? Was she teaching?
No, she was in the back office. I was going to visit her.
Oh,
that's just supporting her in her work.
Yeah.
Just, a lot of times she'll just have me do errands for her during the day, and I just drop everything and support her in every way I can because I love her so much.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
That's so sweet of
That's
you.
That's very nice of you to say that.
I love that.
No, but I think, but there is something about that. I think maybe it's normal for any spouse to feel threatened or have questions if their partner is getting a lot of benefits from somewhere besides them. Mm-hmm. You know? And, but I don't know. I think I get benefits from things that I do out, you know, in mm-hmm. my life that you aren't part of. But it's not the same as ULA. It's not an exercise class. It's or, you know, whatever ULA is beyond an exercise class that happens.
Right.
Yes. That's what we've been that was one of our podcasts recently was how do you define ULA?
Yeah, because it's hard to define.
Because it's hard to define. It's hard to say, you know, what it is that we do.
So, Mike, how would when people say, "Where is Bernice?" and let's say she's off at a training somewhere, how do you describe ULA? What do you say she's doing? What is ULA?
Everybody seems to know what it is.
Well, no,
so
that's not
what's
true.
Funny is I don't.
I like that.
Answer. I don't know what it is because. I really have only been through that one class, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've never really sit here and watched. So what ULA is to me is Bernice practicing in the morning choreography. It's looking at her playlist. It's looking at, you know, doing ULA-related work on her phone or computer at home. So that's part of that is what it's ULA. Part of it is she's going to teach a class and then I know she's always feels better when she comes back. She's fired up, and it's important to her how the class goes. If there were a lot of people there, and how it went, and if she did a good job, and I know that. So for me, selfishly, ULA is something that makes Bernice happy, so you know, she comes home and feels great, and has three other jobs, and does those two, and. So on the surface, ULA, I would describe to people as like, it's a dance, fitness exercise, combined with kind of mental, I was going to say wellness, not illness, mental wellness.
Combined with mental illness.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
I'm like,
I didn't know.
Uh-oh.
I was going to say mental illness to you.
I was going to point to you and say illness. And you, wellness.
I'm like, thank you.
But like when you guys leave on these retreats, I know that a big part of it is the community that happens there. You're all dancing together. And so there's all the movement part of it. But there's this whole, I don't know if you want to say spiritual, but, you know, you know, personal side of things that comes out.
Yeah.
And there's this, so it's part of people, you know, discovering things about themselves that happens, is what my understanding is.
And don't you think it's weird in our culture? Because I know in other cultures, like, you know, like how you were describing coming in here, and you're like, it's kind of primal, like something crazy is going on. Not crazy, you didn't say that. Primal, that was a better term. It's strange in our culture that we've totally lost the thread of that connection to movement and voice and community. Where let's say we were in a different culture, you know, halfway around the world or wherever it is, and that would be totally normal. It would be totally part of the culture.
Right.
And it's so odd that our culture is so like, what is this? Don't you think that's odd?
That is odd. Yeah, you know.
Or sad, or, you know, I don't know, I shouldn't say that, but put words in your mouth, which I do with everybody, by the way.
Not me, never.
She's always like, stop guessing.
Yeah, no, I remember going to a powwow and seeing some people who I knew out there dancing, and I felt envious almost that they're raising their kids with this powerful culture that allows them to dance and drum and chant and have this great culture and community. And, you know, so movement was, there were a lot of dance going on at that powwow at the time, but not that it was a powwow, but I guess they're just the dance
there
and movement parts of that.
There are some parallels, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Healing through movement and music and voice, I think.
And connection
and
storytelling.
Yeah, and storytelling, because all the songs have stories, too, which is, I forget about that part, too. That's a huge part.
It is a huge
part. The storytelling.
I've secretly been going to raves by myself and trying to, but I haven't experienced any of the magic. I was arrested twice. But I didn't. Is that inappropriate?
No,
he's a funny
one.
No
one's listening to this anyway, right?
No, maybe three people.
Just
you're
like
fine.
Right now.
You're fine.
Yeah, just me and you and Kaylee right now.
So Bernice has been really generous with talking to us about her journey and just how it was raising all these children at home, and how when she found Ula, it was like it was a great outlet for her. And then she kind of became a little obsessed about it. And, you know, and you noticed maybe a shift in your wife having come to Ula.
Yes.
So
Mike's like, yes.
So can you describe like the changes you've seen in Bernice since she has, since she's been in Ula?
Okay. Well, Bernice has always been beautiful, and she's always been powerful, and she's always loved dance.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
But she also did all the work at our family business. And so when she started doing Ula, what I experienced was the fact that I was going to have to work a lot harder at first, because she does the work of like three people.
She does.
So I had.
She really does.
That was where my initial resentment came in. Because I was really missing being lazy and having her do all the work. Now, she still does all that. But, since she started doing Ula, she's been on a more of a mission. I think she likes the challenge of the business side of things, of trying to grow a business. And, but I think a big part of it is also building a community and connecting with people and feeling like she may be in some way having a positive impact on people's lives. In some way, there are some parallels to rafting. I think the benefits that I take away from our river business are these challenges that we face together on a daily basis with our customers, mm-hmm. and we're trying to turn them into a team, and we go on this adventure together. And at mm-hmm. the end of it, you know, if they are like, oh my gosh, that was amazing, mm-hmm. you know, and they feel appreciative in some way or transformed, we love that part of it. Mm-hmm. And but we also love the part of it, which is the team of guides working to do a good job mm-hmm. and take good care of people and accomplish whatever it is, the mission for the day, you know, which sometimes can seem pretty daunting. But okay. if we all pull together and, you know, pull it off, then that's really rewarding too. And so I think on multiple levels, Bernice really loves ULA. And from the challenge of the workplace to the personal benefits she gets from the from connecting with all of the other instructors and, mm-hmm. and students.
Mm-hmm. Would you say she yells less at home?
Old yeller. Old yeller.
No. No. Yeah, I do. I don't yell quite as much. Of course, I only
there's
have one,
just less people
I only
to yell
have
at.
One kid now, so it's less. Yeah, before I had a lot to yell at.
She's to always, be fair, yes. we give her a lot to yell about.
Oh,
no. She could yell more.
Well, no.
Good answer right there.
Yes.
That's a good husband.
Do I let you, how am I with storytelling? Who's a better storyteller, me
oh,
or
good
you?
Good question.
Well, you have this funny habit, I would say, of whenever I start to tell a story, you interrupt me almost immediately and clarify a detail that is a meaningless detail. I bonded with our new son-in-law over this because Joe does the same thing to him, apparently. But I don't know. I think you're a great storyteller. You're super funny.
So, who's funnier, you or B?
Bernice.
You think she's funnier?
Yes. Yes. I'm more the kind of funny where everybody thinks I'm an ass. And Bernice had, and I, because I don't laugh, Bernice laughs, has this infectious laugh. So even if what she's saying is not funny, you end up laughing with her. It's infectious. Yeah.
So when it's just the two of you at home, are you? Would you say that you are laughing a lot, or is it kind of more mellow?
It's more mellow, for sure, but funny enough, when there's conflict, when we're worked up about something, then that often will lead to her making fun of me or me making fun of her, and that ends up
into laughter.
That's how it diffuses it.
He's a teaser. He's kind of mean, you know, that way.
I do love to tease Bernice. And so do all of our former guys.
Everybody.
And
they all tease
all of
me.
Our, and our, yeah, all of our good friends love to tease Bernice. She's
and sometimes been, I'm not tease. Good at teasing because I get all like, what do you mean by that? That's not funny. And it's like, and then everyone's laughing. Then my feelings are hurt because I'm unlovable.
Have you heard? Okay, can we get into this?
Know that, yeah.
Can we get into this?
Yeah. Yeah. Can we?
So,
look at Mike's all,
Here we go.
I'm ready.
Okay. So we've heard a lot on this podcast that Bernice's glasses that she puts on in a difficult situation or when something comes up that, you know, is a conflict or something like that, the glasses that she puts on first are, I am unlovable. So if someone like, if somebody, I don't know, what's an example? Someone walks out of your class, you're going to think not that they have an appointment, but you're going to think, oh, they didn't like me.
Right.
And it's because I'm unlovable. How could you love me? boom, your glass is gone.
Yeah.
Not an okay
and
example.
it's more of people I'm close to.
Yes. Oh yeah, that's a good point. You don't really care about people
walk out of class and I like them in class, of course, but that it's more like
no, you're right. That's not a good example for you. But it's
even like today,
you, for example.
Yeah, like you or yeah. you. Or yeah. like today, one of my dear friends said, oh, I can't come to class. And of course, there's tons of other people coming to class and she has other things she has to do. It's very valid that she can't come to class today.
Sure.
But of course, right when I read it, I'm like, I knew she wouldn't come to class because she doesn't love me. You know, it wasn't that immediate, but my feeling inside was like a child.
Yes.
And I wanted to cry. Yes. Like your mom had just said, and I don't love you, you know, or something. And so that's where I always go with people I'm close to.
Do you feel that? Do you feel like you have to reaffirm to her constantly that you do love her?
Only whenever we see an engagement situation on a TV commercial or on a television show.
Because no. why? So, why, Mike? No. To explain that, Mike.
No. I think I get caught off guard from it because I think that
I think everyone
we're
does.
Just having a conversation or we'll have some sort of interaction and all of a sudden, she'll go into the silent treatment or Uh-oh. Into a place of silent rage or hurt. And
silent rage. That's a good one. Yeah.
So then
SR.
I'm trying to interpret what's happening.
You're like, what? Now we were just having a normal conversation.
Yeah. And she really gets upset if I don't talk to her, or if I don't speak
well,
we continuously.
We've heard all about this on the podcast.
Speak continuously.
So you know.
Yeah, no, right.
Right. Like, I tend to like to think about things sometimes.
He's a thinker.
She says something that is deep or, you know, makes me want to reflect on things, or maybe I'm thinking about the last thing she said. I sometimes probably frustrate her because I'm not popping right back with staying engaged. Her mind
sure.
moves a lot faster than mine.
Yes, that I think that's...
And wants reinforcement. And so she interprets me thinking about something and not responding immediately. Sometimes she interprets it as me not listening or me not caring or
sure.
me not loving her.
Sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that does happen.
Low blood sugar seems to also play into this.
Hormones could be a factor sometimes.
Okay. So
not eating.
Our listeners here
Hello,
have
listeners.
Heard about this problem that Bernice has.
The engagement problem.
That she's never been proposed to.
Okay, Mike.
I can't believe I'm doing this. So what we've proposed to you is that you propose to her on your 30th anniversary.
When is that?
In 3 years.
Oh.
Is that right? When were we married?
Well, let's just do it like we did. I promise one day to ask you to get married on our 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
Is that how we would do it?
Yeah, that's he's doing the promise thing. That's how he did it when we first were dating.
Which,
by
the
way,
was your idea. The
I
promise
know,
ring
everything
was explained
is my idea.
Explained to me by you.
Mike, we're dying to know. Do you want to marry this woman or not?
I want to marry Bernice.
Now, the next question that comes with this is, what about an engagement ring so she doesn't have to keep spending all of your money on diamonds?
Oh my God.
You should see his face. His eyes rolled up.
I asked Bernice if I could ask you this, just so you know.
His eyes rolled up in his head right then. Go
ahead. What do you think about her? Okay, or we can turn this back on to B. Mm-hmm. What about her diamonds? Because she's shared all of this on the podcast.
My diamond problem.
Her diamonds. Is it interesting she buys so many diamonds?
Oh, good Lord.
Isn't that kind of funny?
It is. It is odd. I think this goes deeper than me. This goes back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it right? totally does.
Yes.
So I'm just occasionally pushing the buttons,
yeah.
I think. So.
Which is exactly what you said.
Yes.
This is exactly
yes.
what she said you would say.
And it's what I think. It's right. Just deeper than me. Oh, than
she
you.
Loves yeah. jewelry. Oh, yeah. I do not value jewelry. I think it's not.
It's wasteful.
It's wasteful. It's, you know, especially diamonds. You know what?
I'm with you. Like, look in my hands.
You know, it's the most superficial expression of love. There, it's like Donald Trump is president somehow. In a way, so I think of diamonds. But Bernice will say to me, it's not what you want to give somebody, which is, you know, my idea is let's give them an old book.
Oh, sure.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sure. Here's this great book.
Yeah.
Or she's like, you want to think something that they appreciate and value, and your way of expressing love to them is by giving something that they love, even if it is a blood diamond.
Well, oh my God, that's so good.
What about an antique diamond? You know, like an antique ring.
How about?
I know a jewelry store.
How about like pet cat skins or something?
Pet like cat something. Skins?
What? Mike?
Well, I think that's...
What?
You think that... Okay.
A pet cat skin?
We just lost him there, folks.
That's something...
That's how bad he sees
that
it.
That is very romantic.
He
sees it. That's how bad he sees it. Like you would steal cats and skin them.
That's kind of how I feel.
That's what diamonds. I'm asking
about blood
for.
Diamonds. And right. That's what you want. So you are saying, I'm not going to give you a diamond.
They're bad for the environment.
Yes, they're bad for the environment.
They are. I agree with you. I don't wear diamonds.
But I have found a jewelry store that has.
She'll send you the ring.
I give her rings all the time. This is for the record. She just throws them away.
I don't throw them away.
I go to great classy places like Rockin' Rudy's. And I get. And I went downtown to Miss Zula's and I got. Some nice elk bone jewelry.
For
elk
her?
Antler jewelry, yes. And it just gets tossed. I've even given diamonds that have gotten big diamonds, like big, and they've gotten transformed and upgraded immediately or returned.
I upgraded them, that's all.
So
we are from different backgrounds.
This is a deep, painful subject for all of us.
Well, we hear about it a lot on this podcast.
Well,
too.
And poor Kaylee hears
we've
about
all,
it.
We've all
everyone
been included
here
in this situation.
In our office hears about it.
I'm
well,
hoping
she's
the
constantly
Ula
shopping.
Community can help me with this. Help,
let's hear you guys.
Help me help Bernice.
I like this.
Help me help her. Well, but I did find a jewelry store that has antiques.
Yeah, what's wrong with an antique?
Because they've been around. I mean, they're out already.
I agree with that. But is it the principle that you're like, I'm not going to do this? I love you. I don't need to buy you a diamond to show you that. Is that your perspective?
That is a big part of it. And also that I have bought diamonds before that have not been valued.
Was this that ring that you bought was the same ring, hon? You bought me the same ring.
He really likes it.
I love her so much. I try to show her my love in so many different ways. But it must be expressed through diamonds. This is like a very difficult situation.
That is weird.
I
admit.
That is weird.
I'm siding with Mike on
this. I am demanding about certain things, as we know.
Yeah.
And then
or fixated. I get fixated.
Say, I break down. Crush a part of my moral self and go and buy those diamonds because I love her so much and give them to her, and then they're not enough. I couldn't buy diamonds. I can't afford diamonds that are big enough for the...
For her appetite.
For her hole in her heart.
How about this?
For the hole in her heart.
For the hole
that's
in
right.
her heart.
I need a really big diamond.
How about this? How about we gather all of the diamond rings that you have in your whole life that you've bought or he's bought or whatever that you've gotten from your family. Take all of those diamonds. And then trade it in for the biggest diamond you could ever imagine. Then would you be satisfied?
No.
Why?
I don't know why.
Let's look at it another way. Let's look at what is more valuable, the diamonds that you have or the friends that you have through Ula, the relationships that you have, your kids, your friends. Your neighbor Sarah.
Who invited the sage to the party? Who invited Mr. Wisdom?
all of these relationships? Would you rather have a diamond, or would you have rather had this last weekend with your youngest son and your family?
No, that's it. I mean, yeah.
Big Duke.
She wants them both, though.
Yeah, why can't I have both?
She wants it all.
I know I have a problem now. I'm letting it go. I just look at it on my phone.
She's done with this conversation. Look at
I know.
She wants to cry.
We're going to take a break now.
They're like picking on me.
No, we're not. Yeah, no, we're not. I tried. I told you in this interview, I was going to see if he would propose to you with a ring.
You have valid arguments. And as we've said, the void in my heart is...
It's not a void in your heart.
It's a void in my heart.
No, it's not. It's an obsession. It's a mindless obsession.
But I've attached it
to
my heart.
You've attached it, but it's actually not attached to your heart. You don't have a huge hole in your heart.
Right. I don't have a huge hole in my heart.
Okay. You just like shiny objects.
I'm kind of like a crow.
Yeah.
Or a raven.
Something like that.
I feel very attached to them.
Well, we can explore that in another episode.
This is why we have girlfriends.
This is why.
We can talk in depth about these things
without
consequence.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
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 Right.
So we shouldn't have involved you in this conversation? Is that what you're telling me?
No, that was good. That was great.
Okay. Shall we go back to reader question?
Well, let's go back to Ula, shall we? No,
Mike, that was very good.
That was good.
That was very good.
And everyone can see, you guys, what he's dealing with.
Well,
I
think we can see the complexity of the situation. I think you both are handling it very well.
And the beauty of and that's a great way to put it, the complexity of a relationship.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that you both accept each other and understand each other, and you show your ways to her in very beautiful ways. And you know that.
And I do know that.
And you then go and buy yourself your own rings.
And then I buy myself
you get the diamonds.
I get the diamonds.
You get the love. Mm-hmm. And you get to express with books and...
And all sorts of... Elk bone.
Elk bone. Sounds nice.
Sounds
Mike,
nice.
I think in this interview, you have also, like my darling husband, Rob.
Linda.
Yes. I think you've shown a lot of support for Ula and for your wives.
Mm-hmm.
And... Some of us
your many wives.
Your plural wives. What advice would you have for the unwoke man, which is not yourself, but the unwoke man who feels lost in his role in the world as it changes and women now are finding their voices?
Because there's a lot of men
who are feeling threatened by this, but it seems like you are in support of the changes in your wife. Probably your daughter,
like
the Me Too movement. So what, do you have any advice for the men who aren't to that point yet?
I don't know if I have any advice. I think I've been around Bernice a long time, and so I respect her.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect everything she's given to our family. And so
threatened by it.
I love that she has found something she's passionate about and wants to pursue. And I love that she feels empowered by it. I guess I'm not understanding why that's a bad thing.
Why men are threatened.
Threatened by that.
But I think there are definitely some who are.
Well, I think it's, men are afraid of losing their power a little bit. Or, you know what I mean? There's some sort of feeling of like, they're they're not going to be on top anymore. Or they might have to share.
Well, if you look at what's going on in our country right now, I guess white men have been in power for a long time, and it's led us to this point. So it's clearly time to try some other options.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's look at all the Democratic presidential candidates that are announcing, and how many women are there, and how many of those voices are strong voices that I get. Never seen anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I think it's clearly changing. And, but not, I guess if you look at the Kavanaugh hearing, it still has a long way to go. But so I don't know. I don't know that I have any advice for men on that. I don't know.
As they're feeling threatened and, you know.
Yes, just get with the program.
Mm-hmm. Get with the program, dudes.
Because I think it's going to take care of itself because ultimately, if you love somebody, you want them to just have the best life possible.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that doesn't include you. Hopefully mm-hmm. for Bernice, it includes mm-hmm. me. But, you know, mm-hmm. so that is ultimately what gets me past that resentment of mm-hmm. Ula is that, gosh, you know, she loves it. It's so great for her. Mm-hmm. It makes me love Ula, too.
Oh, because, I love that.
Yeah. She gets a lot out of it. And, it brings so many positive things into her life and our life. So
that reminds me of when I was at the retreat with Elizabeth Gilbert and Cheryl Strayed, when we were listening to one of Elizabeth Gilbert's talks, she was saying how it was a story of this married couple, a husband and a wife, and the wife got really sick. And the husband, he was really into these like meditation retreats, and there was this center, and he'd go and he'd spend long periods of time there. And he loved it there. But as the wife got sicker and sicker, it's like he couldn't go for those long stretches anymore. He had to stay and take care of his wife. And so she said to him, she said, look, I love you and I want, like, I need you right now. I do need you right now. I'm sick. I need you to take care of me. But, you know, like when I pass away, if I pass away, I want you to be able to go and live there. And I want you to have this life. And anyways, it turned out that she got better and she was healthy, but she said to him, she said, I actually think that like, I love you so much, but I think that you're actually happier there.
At the retreat center.
And she said, and I love you so much that my love for you is so selfless that I want you to go live there if that's what you want. And it was like Elizabeth Gilbert was saying, like, isn't that like most of us would think, oh my gosh, not that you're losing your wife to Ula. But I just love that selflessness where it's like, you know, a person might, when they're like thinking about themselves, they might feel very threatened by that situation or be like, oh my gosh, but how's that going to affect me? But like real true love is you want that other person to be happy. So when she got better, she said, you can still go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not like, again, not that that has anything to do with like with Bernice, like going somewhere for Ula for her whole life.
I've moved to this
retreat.
But
I just love that you said that. I love that because I think that that's where we get into trouble with our partnerships is when we feel threatened by these things that they love
mm-hmm.
because we feel like it's going to take away from us. But I just love that you see it in the way that you can see how it actually adds more value to your family life and to your relationship. And I think for me, it's like that may be the advice that I would give to the men is just like see how the positive influence can hopefully cycle back around to your family, to mm-hmm. your relationship when your partner is happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like, I don't know. I just think it's really beautiful when couples feel that way about their partner. They're like, I love it because you love it. And maybe it means I have to take care of the kids more. Or maybe it means that I have to, you know, do whatever more. But that's ultimately more important.
And you've been good in your life in terms, I think you set an example for me early on in our marriage because I was so like into like, and you will make me happy. You know, like I based mm-hmm. a lot of my happiness on you, which I still do sometimes. It's a habit from my childhood, but you were so well balanced from the day I met you, you know, you were like, and then I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to do, it wasn't, and you weren't doing it because you didn't love me. But you knew that you needed those things in your life to make you a happy person, whether it was I need to go camping or I need to go for a run or I need to do a river trip or, you know, you were very good about sort of establishing balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think mental health and physical balance. And for me, that sort of prompted me because after a while, I was just kind of waiting around like, I wonder when it will come back. Think you'll come back soon from the river trip? You know, just sort of hanging out in the house there, like, hum-de-dum, I made some meatballs, you know? And then it finally hit me, like, oh, I have to start, like, what are the things that make me happy?
Right.
Not just my partner.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I put that's a good point so too. Much energy
that's
onto the partner.
That's a really good point.
And I do that still sometimes where I'm like, you need me. Then we're going to trip and then we're going to this wonderful walk on the beach and we're going to be partners and find deep love on the beach, you know, or something. Deep love. Pardon me, Julie and all you out there, whatever that means. But
what?
I know. I don't know what I'm talking about now. But I put so much weight on that time when I realized, like, you know, hey, I can go for a walk on the beach alone.
Yeah.
And feel just as good.
And then you might
and
even
come
be
back.
A more pleasant person, which is actually easier to love for him.
Yes. Very good point. So anyway, I thank you for showing me that in the beginning about balance. I don't know where you learned it from your family. I mean, they seemed much better at it than my family.
I think basically what you're saying is you tolerated my selfishness. No, but the fact that you did support me and whatever my interests were for a long time, you walked the walk and you were finding, you hadn't found your thing quite yet, mm-hmm. right? But to your credit, you found a number of things over the years. And I think it's like your dad said is, sometimes you don't know the path you're on until you look over your shoulder.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, he talked about how, you know, he was into his 40s and still wasn't sure what he was doing. And at a certain point, he looked over his shoulder and saw the path he was on. And, mm-hmm. and then he kind of knew. And so I always kind of, I don't know. I've had the same struggles as everybody else trying to figure out what it is I want to do work-wise.
Yeah, sure.
But I think that when we met and started having a family, a lot of that got simplified.
Mm-hmm.
And you were so supportive early on for me. It's almost too supportive. Like, oh, Mike's wonderful. Whatever he does is great. He's starting a raft company. That makes sense. You know.
Aww.
And, you know, so nice. And
that's cute.
But then all of a sudden, you know, you have had all these major things go on, you know. You're kind of like a superhero. You know, Bernice, she has 4 kids without pain medication. And then she
is afraid of
she has
needle.
Cancer and doesn't complain about it. She literally complains more about the air conditioning not working in the van than she did about cancer at any point when we thought it was terminal. And then, you know, going into counseling and then small business and being an entrepreneur and all the support that you've given us in our business ventures, you know, you've been central to all of that and all the relationships that we've developed out of those efforts over the
Montana
years.
Montana River Guides, this is Bernice.
How can I help you?
So, yeah, I mean, it's easy for, I would say I wasn't supportive at first because I was threatened, but I've come around. It's taken some time.
Well, I stuck with it.
Yeah.
You might have thought like, it's sure. like the time she worked at the barn or, you know, I've had different things where I've got obsessed about, well, just because I was looking for my thing.
Sure.
Just didn't know what it was, like you were saying. And then I looked over my shoulder and we both looked over our shoulders and was like, oh, this is the path we've been on. Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Ula song, Mike?
It'd be Sweet Child of Mine. Or
that's not one.
Wrong answer.
Anything by Mayor Hawthorne.
Okay. What's your wife's favorite Ula song?
Her favorite Ula song? Bob Seger, Traveling Man. Is that a right answer? Okay, let me just say, from Ula I've learned this. Okay. This is what I've learned
okay,
about music from Ula. There are 3 Bobs, okay? in Ula, there's Bob Dylan, of course, Bob Marley, and then Bob Seger.
Yes.
And if you have those three musicians, mm-hmm. you have the perfect playlist.
You do. You have a killer playlist.
You know who I like, though, a lot? Imagine Dragons. Remember, I was always me and Ray listening to that.
Ray loves Imagine Dragons.
Me and Ray. Ray is my Ula partner.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll show us music, too. He did High Hopes. Yeah. He wanted High Hopes.
Yeah.
He did the other Imagine Dragons. Oh, what was it? Natural.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, this is a great song, Mom.
So I should have known the answer to that question.
Well, no. Not necessarily.
I'll only take it as I'm unlovable, but that's fine.
What would you say? This is speed round now. Okay. What's Bernice's best quality? Speedy.
Empathy. I think. Compassion.
Awesome.
Oh.
What's her most annoying quality?
Diamonds.
Okay. What's her best dance move?
Oh. Well, shaking her tail feathers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
She's good at that. She gets the chicken wings out. She calls it the Mick Jagger. It's the Mick Jagger. Rooster. The rooster. That's it.
Oh, I love
the
it.
The rooster. She's very talented, that one. Good. Yeah.
Do you have any other questions that we can get on record for Mike?
Do you love me?
I love you.
Mike, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He didn't really want to come. He was like, you don't need me. He's
like, of course we do.
But of course we need you. People are so curious to hear about, who's this person that tolerates me?
Well, I don't feel like I'm tolerating you. I feel like I'm lucky to have you.
It's like a romance novel.
It is. You guys do have a great romance, though.
We
As
do.
Someone who's in the early stages of raising children, I definitely look to you guys and how you've raised your family for a role model. So thank you.
Yeah, we try.
You guys do a great job.
We're still
and
trying.
Your kids are awesome. All your kids are awesome.
Yeah, thanks, kids.
Well,
thanks for listening,
I hope we all answered your deepest, most burning questions for Mike.
There's some good answers, Mike.
There are some good answers.
Our male we'd
spokesperson.
Ask you. Yeah, male spokesperson.
I know.
I could be your moolah.
You could be our moolah.
Our moolah. Our manula man.
Our manula.
Our
He's
moolah.
Our moolah.
Welcome, moolah, Mike. We love you guys.
Love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.